Testament reading is taken from the book of Amos, chapter 7. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in every center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile, away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus says the Lord, your wife shall become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword. And your land shall be parcelled out by line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
New Testament reading is taken from chapter 1 of the book of Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, you have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you, and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
A lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And he said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbour as yourself. And he said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbour? Jesus replied, A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while travelling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, "Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend." Which one of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. A man arrived at the pearly gates of heaven and attempted to get in. But St. Peter approached him and asked, "When in your life have you ever come to the aid of your fellow man?" "Well," the man replied, "I intervened when a group of hoodies robbed and knocked an elderly lady to the ground. I even fended off 4 of them." "That's terrific," said St. Peter. "When was that?" "About 40 seconds ago," he replied. We heard in our gospel this morning a parable that Jesus told about a man who was robbed and attacked and left for dead. It was a known pattern of events often reported in the area of Palestine in the time of Jesus, when bandits lay in wait in hidden rocky hillsides, along the narrow and well-travelled road taken by businessmen travelling to and from Jericho and Jerusalem. It was an 18-mile or so journey. The crowd around Jesus would no doubt mutter and nod their heads at hearing such a familiar story. It's a sad fact that in our own tabloids we are informed of violence in our streets as an everyday occurrence. The story Jesus relates ruffles and no doubt disturbs the crowd when they hear that the first person on the scene who notices the victim passes by on the other side. Even more surprised to hear it's a priest. A priest, a symbol of hope, a pillar of the temple, a religious leader. Likewise, the second passerby, who just happened to be a Levite, he walks by on the other side of the road, taking the option, no doubt, of safety first. I recall the first rule of first aid training to be that when entering a place and finding someone injured or unconscious, one should check your own environment for your own safety. But the second rule is not to pass by, even if all we can do in the situation is to raise the alarm and get help. We are all, I guess, a bit cautious in this day and age about becoming too involved in the aid of others. Putting ourselves at risk, we are perhaps a little hesitant to get too involved. But I guess it's easier if we know the person, or they are considered one of us, a member of our community living just down our street. In Jesus' time, the Jews considered the word neighbour as to mean their fellow Jew, people like us. It is sometimes hard to put ourselves out for those who are even part of our group. It is probably difficult to reach out and help those who aren't like us, a stranger. But that is what Jesus expects of his followers. Jesus had been talking about discipleship and life in the kingdom. He'd been spelling out the quality of service that he expected of his followers. So this teacher of the law gets up in the crowd and attempts to test Jesus. And this intervention presents an opportunity for Jesus to clarify this even more to his disciples. The man attempts to put Jesus to the test, and on the spot, we know the story well. The lawyer asks, "What can I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus throws the question back at him. "What does it say in the law?" The man recites the law, finishing with saying, "And love your neighbor as yourself." "Great," says Jesus, "so go and do this and you will live." But the lawyer, pulling out the wild card, says, "And who is my neighbor?" So we hear the story of a Jewish man robbed, beaten, left naked and left for dead. We hear a priest cannot tell because of the man's nakedness whether he is one of us. And if the man is already dead, and if the priest touches him, he becomes ritually unclean. He won't be able to fulfill his rituals in the temple. He puts ceremony before an act of charity. He puts a safe distance between himself and the man, puts the temple and its liturgy before someone's pain. The Bible doesn't say the reason why he passed by, but we can assume the priest certainly failed to be a good neighbor. He walks on by. Along comes the Levite. He takes his cue from the priest ahead of him and passes on by too. I am not suggesting that these men had no pity for that wounded man, but they did nothing. For compassion to be real, compassion must show itself in action. Then a Samaritan, definitely not one of them, because the hostility between Jew and the Samaritans is very sharp. Samaritans mingled with the Gentiles and were despised. But this Samaritan stops and tends the man's wounds and takes care of him and even goes that extra mile for him. He may have been theologically unsound, but he was honest and compassionate. He may have been considered a heretic, but the charity of God was in his heart. The so-called tainted Samaritan had fulfilled the law of love, while the priest and the Levite had not. Jesus tells us that the victim found that it was his enemy, not his fellow countryman, who proved to be his true neighbor. Furthermore, he says that the outsider is a model of the good Jewish law to follow. The Samaritan showed care and compassion and recognized his neighbor in the stranger who had been attacked and left for dead. The point, says Jesus, is not that we help only those who are in our group. Rather, it is that we help anybody and everybody who needs it. It is because this is what Jesus is doing through his ministry. Indeed, that it's God's intention in sending Jesus. I guess this means we may well be judged not necessarily by the creed we hold, but by the way we live. Our help must be as wide as the love of God. Our love for one another truly reveals our love for God. To show mercy and kindness to the needy is an act of love. We shouldn't divide people as neighbours and non-neighbours based on their race, creed, or behavior, because God created everyone in his own image. Eternal life is an inheritance of God reserved for those who love him. But we cannot say we love him if we refuse to show mercy and compassion to each other. Don't count the reward. Loving others makes us heirs of eternal life, but it's not that reason to show mercy. Compassion is. Don't count the risk. The priest and the Levite counted the risk. They did nothing. The Samaritan didn't show the risk, and we cannot show compassion unless we leave our comfort zone. Don't shift the blame. The Samaritan didn't shift the blame. He transformed his convictions into action. Don't count the sacrifice. The Good Samaritan was a traveller too. He had somewhere to be. He had to rearrange his priorities to attend a wounded man. Don't count the cost. The Samaritan had to shoulder the financial cost of the welfare of that wounded man. Mercy is costly because everything comes with a cost in our society. Jesus showed one cannot hate another human being and still claim to love God. You cannot do it. It cannot happen. And our love for God is best expressed by showing compassion to people in need. Some years ago, I received a call from parents who attended our church at the time, requesting me to visit a hospital to bless their new baby who was unwell. It was late in the evening when I arrived, and I was directed to a specialist ward. I found the parents and their baby from our church, and I gave a blessing and a prayer. I noticed there were other small units on the ward, all divided by glass partitions, and other parents looking with concern and love at their own babies in incubators, surrounded by wires and machinery. They had noticed my dog collar and witnessed my blessing through the glass divide. Muslim parents, Hindu parents, Sikhs, not surprising at all as this was in the cultural diverse area of northwest London. I noticed parents stepped out a little from their separate units to watch, but more, to grasp a piece of that blessing, to hear the words of that prayer. Strangers to me, but my neighbours all in need, not to be divided by their race or behaviour, all made in the image of God. Amen. Please sit for our prayers.
Blessed are you, Lord our God. You come to us in our need. You bind up our wounds and restore us to life. May we be good neighbours to all who are in distress, and so share in your saving love. Lord God, as you have called us to work with you, show us the ways of your salvation. May your church care for the weak and defenceless, for the needy and the poor. Let us never avoid our responsibility and pass by on the other side. We pray for the work of all relief organisations. We give thanks for the work that our food bank does here in our village. And we pray this morning for the work of the Samaritans. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for peace and justice in our world. And we ask your blessings upon all who have suffered from the violence and robbery of others. We remember those who've been driven off their land or out of their homes. We pray for all displaced persons. We pray for all who feel injured by others. May we help wherever we are able. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for all who have cared for us and who have given us the support and comfort in our needs. We give thanks for the community here at St. Peter's as we seek to love and support each other. We ask your blessing upon our loved ones. And we pray for all who seek to build up a spirit of community in this area, giving thanks especially for the newly formed toddler group. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks for all who work in the rescue services. And we ask you to bless and care for ambulance and fire workers. We pray for social workers and carers, for all doctors and nurses. And we remember those who quietly work within their community, seeing to neighbours and meeting their needs. Father God, we pray for all those who suffer in the physical and emotional darkness of pain. And we pray for those we know who are unwell at this time. We remember all those whose names are on our news sheet. And especially this morning we pray for Jacob Kozak. We pray for those who care and worry about them. Bring them comfort in their troubles. May they feel your love and peace. And may we each be an instrument of that love and peace where we can. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give thanks that you rescue us from death and offer us your peace and your joy. And we remember friends and loved ones who are departed from us, especially this morning remembering Jerseen Gilkes and Barbara Bainbridge. We also remember those whose anniversary of death occurs at this time: Barbara Bowell, Albert Allegan, Edith Mandel, and Maurice Lintel. May they enjoy a closer fellowship with you in your kingdom of peace. And so with your joy and your hope and your love in our hearts, we offer you our prayers this morning, joining together as we say, Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.